make sure you check out the Elite Eight of the National Jerry Curl Championships. Oh, it's getting hot and heated. We're down to 8 Jerry Curls, 4 regions. I mean, you got to go check this out. Go to the Facebook fan page of Straight Outta Low Cash, or go to the Straight OLC Twitter, or go to playbuzz.com/National Jerry Curl Championships. 8 curls are left. We're going to crown one as the best Jerry Curl of all time. Also, the link will be in this show notes as well if you need. So make sure you go check out the Elite 8 of the NJCC.
Up to bat, no batteries included and no strings attached, no holds barred, no time for move faking, got to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible.
Welcome back to Scenario. We back, Matt, Big Money Hank, what's going on?
We out here, man, trying to make something happen.
Yeah, man, people, we got a couple people, I guess, did you get some new followers on Instagram?
Did I?
I'm asking.
I never really check. I don't know. I'm like the worst Instagrammer of all time, because like I feel like a lurker, because I be looking at the thing like constantly, like a lot of them just checking it out, but then I would look at my pictures and be like, man, I haven't added anything to this in like 2 months. Like, am I a low-key lurker and don't realize it?
You don't know what's going on.
I might be a lurker on accident.
I mean, that's what I kind of am, especially on Instagram. I'm a horrible lurker.
Like, right now, I'm lurking on Coachella, because, like,
all the people doing all the
like
shows
all,
and everything.
All models just go to Coachella and just walk around.
And just take pictures.
It's like the land of milk and honey.
It's like, so it makes you think you should go to Coachella just to see
them. Well, I don't know. They, like, I'm getting old now. Like, they're 12 years younger than me, but, I mean, I guess that's not outside of firing range.
But, I mean, would you go to, I want to go to Coachella, though.
I would go. Oh, hell yeah, I'd go. I mean,
but would you stay out there all day, or would you only be out there for the people you want to see?
I don't even know, based on the way that looks, I don't even know how much I'd be looking at the acts. I'd probably be walking around politicking.
Just seeing who's out there.
Yeah, like, that's how I do it with the Loot Fest, too. Like, I go, and I just walk around and eat and go to, like, the tents and stuff.
And but talk to people and see who's out there.
Yeah, other than that, I don't really be doing anything. I'd be kind of chilling.
That's interesting, yeah, because I'd be like, man, Coachella is a hell of an event, man. It's become homogenized, though, I think, like anything else has. But, man, we got some emails, man. We got people, the survivor's second chance, man. People disagreeing with us who's had the most second chance. If you didn't listen to the last show, we talked about, we ranked Ray Lewis as the most sole surviving black man ever in history.
He is, yes, he is unlike most other people on earth, period.
All right, so this one is from 24 Gresh. He says, he or she, I'm not sure who it is. Snoop Dogg got to be on the top 5 survival list, bro. Dude beat a murder case while on the most notorious record label during the early 90s, when gangster rap was extremely controversial, survived the East Coast, West Coast beat, and now this dude is co-hosting with Martha Stewart and accepted damn near everywhere. People don't even like rap like Snoop. Also, what do y'all think about this crazy-ass Tiffany Lee story? It had her black boyfriend killed and is posting in a record $35 million bill. Keep up the good work. Good show. Show is dope. KG.
Appreciate that, bro.
So Snoop Dogg is up there. He's in the top. Is he in the top 10?
Snoop, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess he gotta be. That was so long ago that, like, he's kind of like David Ortiz. Like, he messed up, but it happened so long ago that people don't even really trip off it. Like, even me saying that, people are gonna have to look up what David Ortiz did, because they're like, what'd he do? Like,
somebody's Googling right now. Somebody's paused the podcast right now and like, let me see what's going on. Open up another window.
Right, like, damn, like, I didn't even realize David Ortiz was out here like that. But, like, yeah, he's like one of them. Like, I finally watched the American Crime OJ doc.
Oh.
Like, I finished it
this
morning.
The 4-part joint? The ESPN one?
The 10-part joint. The one on FX. The one with Cuba Gooding
Jr. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. The drama one.
Yeah. Like, how they pulled up all... Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how they pulled up all that stuff on Johnny Cochran out of nowhere? Yeah, like, that's how I think Snoop is right now. Like, if they did, like, a biography about Snoop, like, you'd be like, damn, Snoop.
You did that?
Like, I should have...
Murder the case was for real?
Like, I should have known about that. Like, I should have... But, yeah, like, all that stuff's legit. So, I say all that to say, Snoop might have crossed over more thoroughly...
that anyone ever has.
Anybody ever.
He is the number one in crossover, right?
Oh, we call it crossover without selling out, right?
Right.
Okay, gotta say Flo Rida gotta be Flo Rida gotta be the most lost brother of all time.
Oh, was Cuba Gooding at first the original? The original?
No, no, it happened long before that.
I mean, yeah, we go back. I mean, we
like probably, Jack Johnson.
He wasn't a crossover. I'd probably say Jesse Owens.
Any brother
is the original crossover.
Any brother that could go to a club and sit in a booth with white women in the
20s. But he was getting fucked with though.
But still, that even the fact that he would have got killed in that club if he was us, we would have got murked.
And he yeah, man, how did he get out of that shit though?
Because he was Jack Johnson. They accepted him for a purpose. That's the thing I say. So like Snoop, they've accepted Snoop for a purpose. Plus, Snoop made it easier for white people to put out there that they smoke weed. Not like just like pothead white people, but like white people as
well. Just a random person that just smokes every once a week.
Snoop is the modern day Bob Marley minus the political activism.
He is.
He's like a black Willie Nelson. So that's Snoop who he really is. He's
so Snoop
a black
Willie Nelson. Crossover the best without selling out, you think?
Yes, without a doubt. I think he crossed over further than anybody else ever in history.
That's a good one.
And the black that stayed black, yeah. Still stayed a brother.
What about Beyonce?
Well, but she's for the people, though. Like, Beyonce is, like, for everybody.
Yeah, because he was, like, street.
Yeah, though. From the very beginning, Beyonce was for the middle. She was in a black girl pop band, but then it just was, like, white girls were eating that up as much as anybody else.
They was throwing like, I'm a Survivor and shit.
Like, you got to my birthday party late. You missed a great conversation that me, Van, and me, Van, Sleep, a few other people had about songs that was made for the culture and songs that we lost to the people. Like, Doggy Style is lost. Like, that's for the mass pop culture. Like, Snoop got embraced.
We lost the Chronic too, right?
Yes, all of that's gone. Yeah. So, I mean, like, Snoop got embraced so thoroughly that, like, we lost him, but he's still with us. Like, he over here advocating for us. It's okay, like, it's like he on Capitol Hill lobbying. Like, Snoop is a lobbyist for, like, black people.
That's real.
So that's how I see Snoop.
So is Montel Jordan, this is how we do it? That's one of those situations.
That's one of the most kidnapped songs of all time.
Yeah,
we could do like a whole separate
episode. Podcast on that. Ignition, I think, is number two.
We could No. There's plenty. We need to do a separate show on this because this is how we do it is gone. No Diggity is gone.
Ignition is up there. Ignition Remix is up there.
Ignition Remix is gone, but there's so many songs that
what
are.
What about
like,
that?
No, you have
I'll
to
put my hand up on
yes,
my hip.
Yes, like that. Like things
Freak
like
Nasty is doing it. Freak Nasty.
Like anything like the Cha Cha Slide and like all of that. Like that stuff is gone. That is not ours.
They're playing Cha Cha Slide Cardinals game.
Exactly. When they start playing your black ass music with unedited versions.
Flo Rida as a whole.
Oh, well. Flo Rida performs at every WrestleMania, so he is definitely for the white people. If Vince McMahon approves of your black ass,
you're
gone. There's been like three black dudes that ever won the championship in WWE history. So,
who are they?
The Rock, Booker T, and Mark Henry.
I guess Ron Simmons,
WCW.
Because he's the first black champion ever, though, right?
He is the first black heavyweight champion.
On a heavy, high level. Was there any other black? Oh, Booker T was a WCW champion, right?
He was WWE too.
So he's one of the only black. He's the only black person at both, right?
Well, yeah, but between the two promotions,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
Booker T's more important than we give him credit for.
And he's supposedly got like a big like underground like a Texas based wrestling thing. That's
Booker T is running right? for the mayor of Houston.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Saw that. What the fuck is Booker T?
Can you dig it? Sucker!
Booker T is running for mayor, man.
Yeah, man.
Did you see the situation with the chick, the Asian chick in California that he mentions in his email?
Mm-mm.
So basically, this guy was getting custody of his two kids from her. She sets him up to be killed. So he's dead. So they posted a high bail, like, yeah, we're going to give you $35 million bail. And people got together and put cribs up and got her out on bail. She's the highest person to ever get on bail. It was $35 million bail.
$35 million bail?
Right. And so they put up cribs. So like people in general, you only need 10%. But because part of it was collateral cribs, it's a higher percentage. So it's like 30, 40% that you got to put up of crib worth crib value. So we talking about damn near 10 million, 10, 15 million here at this point that they put up to get her out of jail.
Hey, you completely lost your mind.
They saying that, I don't know, I was like, yo, man, homie, you want to ride this one out, man. $35 million bill, man, we love you to death, but you want to ride this one out, pal.
Nah, you dead to me as far as I'm concerned. Like, you out here, but yeah. you not out here no more. Right. Like, I'll holler at you when I get around to it, type.
All right, next email, second chance. This one's from AP Wu. He says, Scenario Crew, love his last topic on the Ray Lewis being the all-time person to get away with stuff. But I think we're losing one potential person that you all vaguely talked about a little bit. I have to go with Daryl, with Don King. This guy killed multiple people and is still white people loved. He's also a Republican, and he's also just an all-around horrible person in general. He is the Suge Knight of boxing, and nobody even knows it, and nobody even checks him about it. Love the show as always. Peace.
Well, I mean, I think Don King's track record is pretty well
solidified.
Put out there that he's like the shiestiest cat in like the last half century. Plus some.
Yeah, I mean.
But 50 years ago is 1967 now, huh? Mm-hmm. So like the last 60 years then. Yeah. Wow, 50 years ago is 67.
Yeah, somebody 50 years old is born in 67.
Tough, man. My mom's is never turning 60 this year, so that's why I kind of like know what's going on.
Damn. Next email comes from our man HT the Coyote. He says, hey guys, just want to follow up to my last email. Basically, I like to set out the game for the foreseeable future. This is the one that had the girlfriend that emailed us. That the girl that he was trying to, he had been around and he was having sex with her, but she wouldn't commit and like.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to say that he didn't have no confidence and shit like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so foreseeable future. Frankly, this shit doesn't work out for a nerdy guy like me. I live in mid Michigan, which is essentially an area where the only people being monogamous are the ones and twos, and me the solid ones. Every three and above is basically still on the whole shit. It feels like everyone my age is still on doing dumb shit just to get laid, and I mean dumb shit. Remember what state I'm in. East Lansing is a nightmare for dating, as it's the college level attractive women who have no real reason to be monogamous. Also, my job really is bad for meeting women. I'm sorry, but retail brings out the worst in people. The other reason I'm ready to stop is because as I told Daryl on Twitter, a lot of people, mostly friends, have been fucking the girls I try to date. Like, as soon as my friends hang around any of them, they're gone. Also, another friend, despite seeing me with, let's call her Vanessa, and other women, thinks I'm gay. He's gay himself.
Damn.
Because I've gotten to where I'm done jumping through dumbass hoops to potentially get dates. Seriously, I'm paying for dates and being myself. Meanwhile, these niggas are dressing like fucking idiots with no jobs. Keep in mind, we're all 25 and above. Are fucking chicks on people's couches and cars. Seriously, more people have used my bed for sex than I have. I think this is just a sign I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Could be worse. Sincerely, HT.
No, I don't know if it gets much worse than that. I mean, that's also, I feel like that's an outlier. Here's how I work in life. Like, I throw out the worst of something, and I throw out the best of it, mm-hmm. and then I start working my way towards the middle to figure out what's really going on.
And that's what really in life is.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, bro, get up out of there. You don't have to stay there. Yeah. Like, if any time in life, opportunity about in life, period, is about how you leverage and how you place yourself in position to take advantage of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you got to, like, put yourself in position to be able to thrive and be able to prosper. So, you know, if something's not working out one place and you really, number one, don't deny if it's something that you really are for. You know what I'm saying? Don't deny that it matters to you and then start to act like it don't. Because a lot of people make real big mistakes doing that, like trying to play something to the left that you don't need to. You know, so the thing about it is...
I've seen you're compromising.
Yeah. Like, you compromising either way. Like, sometimes if you want something, like, if you really want something, sometimes you might have to wait it out. And sometimes you might just have
become
to...
Become the king of the north.
Yeah, you might... Yeah, sometimes sometimes you might have to become the king of the north. I'm going to be abdicating the throne at some point before too long. So, I mean, you just go ahead and do what you got to do. But the thing I'm going to say, though, man, is just, like, you know, don't take... That is being the gospel. You know what I mean? Like, if you tired of where you at and you feel like the opportunities are dried up there, yo, it's a massive world.
Yeah, the world's biggest
world. Anytime you ever want to get too down on what's going on around you, look at a map. And look at how long it takes you just to get 20 minutes away from where you at, let alone reinvent your life somewhere else.
Because you can reinvent yourself.
Man, and it's not even...
We know that I've done that shit.
Yeah, and it ain't even about false flagging or anything like that. It's just about the fact that you don't have to live your life in any less than optimal condition, especially when you're young, especially when you're still on the come up. Like, you don't, dog, you can always have a better way. So don't get that far down on yourself that you get to a point where you just condemn everything and write everything off.
Yeah, that's real. I mean, like I told him on Twitter, man, because he had been up on Twitter. Man, yo, you just, yeah, you gotta get the fuck up out of there, like Matt said. And second, man, yo, man, like, you gotta get a better crew of people around you. And I always believe that energy is a part of life. It's something that you, the energy you giving off, that's bringing a lot of fuck people around you like that.
No, that's true, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and I'm gonna tell you what, if the goal is to attract another person, nothing draws people into you more than your self-confidence about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Even nobody. In fuck up situations.
Nobody, yeah. Even if you go out and you fuck up some stuff and you're not doing it right, I'm gonna tell you right now, if it's about a woman and if it's about anything like that, yo, some of the biggest osmosis for women, other than success you've already got, is success that you are determined to have for yourself. And you working at it and you chasing mm-hmm. it. Chicks are about that because women want to feel secure. Women want to feel safe. And they want to feel like they with somebody that's going to be ambitious and be about always bettering themselves. Period. Mm-hmm. No matter what. So if you get down on yourself and you kind of give in and give up, yo, they smell it. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. like a spider sense.
Yeah,
it's
like, I mean, they get it. Think about it. Like he's saying, like the dudes you saying this fucking girl on top of cars or whatever on couches and all kind of shit is because they don't give a fuck. They got the confidence, like, I'm gonna fuck you on top of this car.
Right.
That's, I mean, they believe that they're gonna do it. Like, I'm gonna fuck you on top of this car.
And sometimes you run across.
And I've done that before.
And that's how you can channel it in like that. We got that shot on one time, man. He has the best story about that.
About fucking on top of
the
car.
Oh, God. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, we need to have him on.
Just to tell that story.
Like, leading into the summer, we need to, like, have, like a special. We need to do, like, a sidebar series of scenarios.
A cocktail.
Just with cats that, like, yeah, like, just like. Some of the homies telling stories that like need
like
to be
story
told.
Time. It's a story time show.
Yeah, like Shad and like Beef Free and Van Eddie and all Brandon. The homies. We need to have like all the homies on. Like Brandon was on that time. You know, like that. But like anyway though, like the thing about it is, I say, man, is that it's you just gotta be about yourself. First and foremost. If you're not about yourself, you can't possibly be about anybody else. Ever.
Self-preservation is number one.
Ever.
Like, if I gotta do you, like, and I'm not trying to be callous in saying this, but either you or me is you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I don't know, man. I've always everybody's been in situations where somebody maybe, you know, took your girl that you was cool with and stuff like that. But you gotta kinda leave it, them motherfuckers from being around you though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period. Like, and then this, and then it's certain energy around certain motherfuckers. You gotta be perceptive, understanding. Like, it's certain motherfuckers you around. You just be like, this is the type of motherfucker that's gonna try to take my chick. I'm fucking.
Hey, here's the thing, man. Like, when it comes,
it's
to
just
like,
the energy they give off. Like, this that type of motherfucker.
Hey, always think back about how the people that you rock with, how you came across them. Like the there people you really rock with. Think about how you came across them, and if you really mess with them, and you just feel like you don't always mess with them, like for real, like. Those are the type of people that you have no questions about. Now, the people you got questions about, you already know how to eliminate them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it works, you know, period. Like, I don't know how to put that any simpler than that. You know, you just got to have a good feel for people. And if people don't do you right, and if people are just doing stuff for the sake of it, and they clearly make a move that isn't in your best interest, and you can tell they didn't think about you at all in any instance, yo, it ain't about that. Bring the people in your circle that feel the most like family, and you'll never go wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's the realest thing, man, because the people around you and the women around you, everything around you is a reflection of who you are, like, period. Like, it sounds cliche and shit, I know, but, like, that in Pursuit of Happiness, I forgot the name of the person that wrote the book offhand, but I can't remember his name, Lance something, I think, I believe. But anyway, he says that, look at the five closest people around you. If you don't like who they are and where they at, then you need to move. You need to do something else.
Because
mm-hmm. that's who you are, though. Because you only attract yourself to who you are.
No, that's real. That's real. That's what it
is. Like, you only think, I mean, how many successful motherfuckers are people that are confident doing anything or whatever are around just bum-ass people? Bum-ass people around bum-ass people. Crackheads are with other crackheads. Like, other gangsters around other gangsters, like, you know.
No, you 100% with that. Like, people...
Like, in the movies, it's, the gangsters happen to be hanging out with the Wall Street dude. Yeah, I mean, that can happen. You know what I'm saying? On a high level of gangsterism, if you like some... You selling, you know, you to connect like that. If but you, the regular dope dealer on the block ain't hanging out with motherfucker that's a doctor.
If you motherfucking Michael Corleone.
But right, that's what I'm saying. You at a high level with a game in. If you hanging out with them kind of cats, you doing some fucking other shit. But in general, you not.
It's real, man. You just, hey, don't make judgments in the long term based on bad short term decisions.
That's some real shit right there. All right, we got the Coup de Grace email right here, man. I'm calling this episode Miss Fat Booty. if anybody remembers the song by Mos Def,
turn it on right now.
Awesome. This one is on. This one is from Benside Bags. He calls himself. What up, crew? Love the show and what you all do. Wanted to tell you all a story and see you all's thoughts on it. So I've been dating this girl for about 9-10 months. Super cool, super dope. She said that she was in medical supply sales. I'm in actually pharmaceutical sales. So it was like, oh, yo, this is dope. Like somebody within my same field. So time goes on. Things are going well and everything. One of my friends calls me and was like, yo, what is you say that old girl did for a living? He says she does medical supplies. And then my friend says, are you sure about that? And I go, yes. I've dropped her off at a gig and everything. He was like, I'm going to send you something and you let me know if this is her or not. He proceeds to send me a picture of her basically popping on a handstand right on top of some dude. So I look at it once or twice. And I was like, and then he's like, okay. He says, in my mind, I'm like, she's just someone that looks like her. He proceeds to send me 4 more pictures of her basically stripping. So what do you all think about this situation? Have you all been through it? I've confronted her about it. She told me I'm sorry. I've been just trying to do it to try to pay for her some bills and do the things I need to do. What do you all feel about it? How do you all feel about it as a whole?
Oh, so word, like it's an active situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and like she was hiding it?
Yeah. So...
Man, that's tough, yo, because, like, if she doing that and, like, trying to get over, like, not get over, but, you know, trying to get a situation together and get things done. Me, myself, I think a lot of the time people get tied up on if somebody's stripping because it's, like, some kind of social faux pas about what they thinking about what other people will think.
Yeah.
But, like, yo, how many people, here's the double standard to me with that. Is that when a girl does that to me, it's the equivalent of a dude selling work to try to get over. So, like, that's how I see it.
That's a good analogy.
Like, so people look at drug dealers and be like, yo, that's just a bad situation. That's a bad thing. But I understand if you did what you had to do in order to make it happen. But then people look at stripping like it's a lifetime mark against you. Like, it's a whole thing. When there's quality people doing bad things all the time.
Every day.
Like, that's just life and that's just how it is. And you are dense if you think otherwise, that that's not what's happening. So, like, to me, I don't really hold that against them as long as they're not looking at it like it's a career move or like it's for, like, a lack of ambition. Hey, man, do what you got to do because Lord knows, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've done things that I ain't necessarily been the most upstanding things to do, but my heart was always in the right place, you know what I mean? And sometimes some things are just mistakes. Now, the caution that I come with that is that I get why she might not have said anything, but I don't like when people aren't upfront with stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel like you got to hide something from me in one instance.
And 9 months, eight, 9 months, like you're saying on everything, like that's maybe not the break. Of, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just start kicking it. Like, you don't break out on the first date, you know, that, yeah, I'm stripping. But 8-9 months, man, we getting into a year. We getting into serious territory, you know what I'm saying, where I'm bringing around 8-9 months, you bring people around family and friends, and you in the fold in general. Most relationships, you in the fold somewhat. Are you at least grooming somebody to be in the fold? Like, I'm bringing you around maybe a little barbecue or something. Maybe I ain't bring you to Christmas and nothing, but I ain't bring you on the barbecue and we hanging out. And you done met a couple of my boys and shit. My boys probably know you by name. My boys probably been trying to holler at some of your friends, you know, like it's all that stuff.
You're starting to intermingle the situation. The game's starting to get tied in.
Yeah, so at some point, that conversation needs to be had.
No, I feel that, man, and I get that, and I ain't knocking it to say that. Like, the thing about it is I don't knock the initiative of doing it, but I don't like when people try to act like, and when people have any hints of a double life. You know, like, you don't need to do
like
that.
You a hitman and shit on
like
the lower
you, like
shit.
Like you Batman. Like, yeah. I always wonder why Lois Lane didn't take more issue with Superman for clearly lying to her on the regular. Like,
that he was the Man of Steel.
Like,
shit.
Yo, like, you mad tall and, like, wavy, but, like, you've been telling me that you're not Superman for the... Like, you kind of lying to me like crazy, and I get
why... We just had a kid and shit, and I kid my fucking pushing dresses and shit, and he fucking won.
Exactly. Like, I get what the situation is here and why you might not want to tell me, but, like, still. So, I don't know. I don't like that part of it, but, like, I'm not going to say, like, hey, like, right now, you gotta get rid of her for the fact that she's doing that, you know, but you need to find out what's really going on with her, though.
And I think it depends on what strip club and what strip club she's at, too.
Why?
Because I think it's different levels of this shit. Like if
oh,
she...
Oh, you're talking about if she had, like, the...
Pink slip versus, you know, a gentleman's club. That's two different things, and you know that.
If she's potentially making it happen.
No, because I'm thinking you...
Oh,
because
then she's bringing in some treachery into your house,
And she's sucking dick on the side, though, too.
Oh, you can't do that.
But no, okay. Now, okay, Matt, if she says she worked at Penthouse versus working at Bottoms Up... There's two different conversations we having now.
I'm gonna take it to another level. What if she an escort?
Woo! But see, but that's another thing. I think most strippers be tricking on the side. That's a personal thing I have. That I think that
it
a lot of
ain't always
do.
True, but just like
it's just,
I
it's
get,
just a
it.
Feeling.
I get what you're saying.
Because that boom boom room is a boom boom room
because,
for a reason.
Because I think that that's part of the faux pas that we look at them and be like, if you're willing to do this much, there's no chance you're gonna do this much. But hey, how many cats in life have tried to knock down that stripper and just rejected Mutombo style because she's not going for it?
Oh, it happens all the time. It's happening right now. The pink slip probably right now.
In this moment, yes.
Yeah, like, this exact like moment. This moment. At Bottoms Up, somebody's like, I got $50. What can I get for it?
Nothing. Like, you either give it to me or I move on to the next.
I mean, because I've seen some nasty shit at the strip clubs, though. Well, at least those, the bottom rail. I seen dudes eating out the fucking strippers.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
I get it. Like, there's like, no, I ain't trying to say it like things don't go down. But, like, the thing I'm just saying is like, we all know that, like, everything ain't created equal on that level. But the thing I mean to say, though, about that whole thing is, yo, you just got to find out what time it is with that. Find out what her speed is. Cause
I mean, do you just show up randomly to her, you find out what club it is, and you come in with, like, the glasses with the little nose and shit to just try to see what happens?
I feel like that's, like, the lure to, like, do that, like, off tops, like, just to do that. But then at the same time, like, to me, if that happens, you got to get out of that whole scenario at that point because now you can't trust her. Like, in your mind, you got to already act like you don't trust her if you got to do all of that. So, it's better than just sitting around trying to live in a situation where you already are knowing that you can't trust her and your mind's never going to be at ease. Because there's no point being in a relationship and you got to be paranoid all the time. Like,
so you think every time you drop her off at 8, 9 o'clock at night, you like, oh, fuck, she probably from... And she got her bag, you know, the bag ready.
Yo, that's a tough thing to not know about somebody, though, after that long, though. Like, even just habits.
8, 9 months?
Like, even habits of, like, dealing, like, you should already know.
Like
you,
my God, why are you always out late? Like, my thing is, but... I don't know the situation and everything. Man, I'm getting some more equipment, though, man. So we finna upgrade this whole more podcast situation because... We need to call him up. Like, we need to have, like, interventions like that where we have you actually call and describe what's going on. Because these are questions I have. Like, how did you, like, can you text her at 1 in the morning and she don't reply back till, like, 7?
Like, you know. Like, yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, lapses and, like, you, here's how
do you not hang out with her on the weekends or something?
Yes,
like,
exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Or is she doing the week shit, and you work in pharmaceuticals, so you may be traveling.
Yeah, there's that too.
Going to bed at 8 or 9, 10 o'clock because he got an appointment at 7, 8 in the morning at a doctor's office.
That's tough, man. That's a tough situation to scribe out like that. Like, I just say, you know, there's a lot of hypotheticals that can go into it, but, you know, you got to kind of... I'm always one that's going to question how things are playing out if I feel like everything ain't on the up and up.
Up.
And now you know everything's not on the table, so, you know, like, what else is going on?
So you talked about before we started the podcast that you dated...
I did, but she was done. Like, she wasn't doing it
so anymore. How did that come about? Like, to even find that out? Like, from your perspective, like, how was that introduced? Like, yeah, this is what I used to do. Like, did she hold it out? Like, she didn't do no 8 or 9 months like this chick, right? Or
I don't remember the duration. It was kind of like, here's how I look at it. Like, there's things in every relationship, there's nothing special.
Yeah, it could be a whole bunch of shit.
There's not anything special about me being in this scenario, but, like, there's things that I did in previous relationship or in different versions of my life that I don't necessarily just, you know, feel like I'm going to be judged by right now. So it doesn't necessarily come up until it's time for something like that to come up. But I don't remember how it first popped up as being a thing, but, like, I wasn't really tripping because, like, it just didn't really matter to me for real like that. So, like, she could, you know, it was something she did before we messed around, you know? So, hey,
was it a serious relationship? Or
Yeah. Okay. It was legit, but it never really set me back because, like, she was legit done with it. So it wasn't, like, something that I was, like...
Like, how long did she...
You know what, man? Honestly, I don't...
You was like, I ain't even asked the motherfucker.
Well, no, I'm sure I knew, but I just don't remember because it's been years ago since we
was it a college thing for her, or was it a...
No, it was... I think it was a little bit after college, if I remember correctly. But, like, she did her thing. You know, she did her thing and she made it happen or whatever like that. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But, like, at the end of the day, you got to decide what you're going to judge people by, like, in my book. Like, how hard are you going to judge somebody that did something before they dealt with you? Like, I feel like my man's situation is a different thing.
It's active.
And that's a different thing. Like, if it was going on, like, while that was happening, we had an issue. And if, like, it would have been, like, something that was, like, going to reactivate, like, while we together, we're going to have an issue. You know what I mean? But because it's like there's no reason to do that. But I'm not going to hold people to a standard, you know, before I mess with them. Just like I wouldn't want somebody to be, like, with some of the things I've done and some of the things I've had.
Would you date a former porn star?
Ooh, not at this point. No, I'm kind of past looking for that. Like, if I was younger, in my 20s.
Well, she was a lawyer doing her thing, whatever, and she was like, hey, I did a couple of flicks back in 07.
Porn star is different than that, though.
I mean, I did 5 or 6 flicks, though. Oof.
No, probably not. Not at this point. Not
she was like, and it was 10 years ago, though. I'm a lawyer now.
Yeah, I'm not at this point just because it's too accessible.
Because the internet?
Yeah, it's too
accessible. It's not like it's a VHS where somebody got actually have bought it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they have their property and all
like
that.
Everything be in the world these days, you know. No, not like that. Like, it falls into the category of would you mess with somebody that one of your boys hit?
That's a... Whoo!
Like, what's the boundary? Like, if your boy knocked this girl down, would you mess with
her? I think it's, for me, in my sliding days, I think it's a statute of limitations on it. And it would depend. It'd be a lot of different factors, though, for me.
You got to depend on the extent that you cool with the homie, too.
Yeah, like, and how deep was their relationship as well.
Now, talking about shit, I think
that
goes either way, you know what I'm saying? It's like, did he knock it down, like, one night and then just let it go, and then you make that be your wife? Like, that's a struggle, too. Just like if they was rocking for a long time and then you jumped in on the back end, like, you know, that would still be a thing. Like, I don't know. It all depends on what the importance of how hard you lean on it.
This episode is sponsored by Jack Daniel's Gentleman Jack and their reel-to-reel viewing parties. This movie event is going to be for independent film artists, for you to check out a lot of independent film artists in your area and city, particularly St. Louis. This one will be going on Thursday, April 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Moolah Theater at 3821 Lindell Boulevard. Complimentary cocktails, food, and giveaways courtesy of Gentleman Jack Daniels. Make sure you go to gentlemanjackfilm.com. and register, because you have to register to be able to get in there for that event. And once again, make sure you drink responsibly. And for join anything else going on with Gentleman Jack with this film extravaganza, you can go, like I said, to gentlemanjackfilm.com and check out when your city will be having this event. Sign up, go check out some dope local independent film artists as they compete to try to go to the national event with Gentleman Jack Daniels. And once again, that is gentlemanjackfilm.com.
I totally think that you can end up dealing with people that you not necessarily that, you know, might have dated somebody you messed with before, but it just depends on the fact, because, like, we live in St. Louis. This is the smallest city on earth. Like, everybody, you always gonna fall across somebody who used to mess with somebody else. Yeah, always. Like, it's gonna happen. So you just gotta hey, get over it. Like, that's the case. That's the play. That's how
you fucking with them or not. You know, it's kind of one of them deals. So what if she was on like one of those little amateur tapes where people be amateurly recording their fucking
shit? No, I gotta not even rock with that. if somebody made a flick with an X.
Yeah, and it got on X videos and shit. Like, hey, I just want to let you know, and I kind of did this with my dude, and it's on X video.
Yeah, that's kind of rough to deal with. Like, threw it out there,
but and it wasn't like chicks, I knew that he taped it. Like, it wasn't like also it, like slide.
Like, shit. I think a lot more people than admitted that made some flicks in their time.
See, I refuse to make one.
Oh, I get it. I get why you wouldn't.
But yeah, I don't want to see myself.
I'm just
I live in a bubble of like I put my shit down, and I don't want to actually see me like. I don't be doing shit. I don't want to know that. Because you see yourself. It's like what? It's like how people. Some people don't watch like their like I guess certain like if they're an actor or they don't watch their own movies and shit like. And you start critiquing yourself like fuck man. I should have fucking bit down in that scene. You know what I'm saying? Or did it? I don't want to be like man. What the fuck am I doing? Like what?
Yeah. Am I doing? No. I mean, I get it. I get it.
Like, I don't want to voyeuristic myself like that.
I get the play, but it's a tight rope, you know, if you will. It's a tight rope how that plays out, because I don't know, I wouldn't care.
So you would, so she was like, yeah, you know, me and Tyrell, my ex, you know, it's a video on X video.
I don't like that name. That
Tyrell? That name. It sounded like the dude that was digging her guts out.
That name feel like it might have been super gutter.
Like. Like it was on a washing machine and some shit like
that. Yeah, like real grisly.
Yeah, like, and it was like old. And the washing machine was
like
on.
When my mind, I'd go to a place where I'm like, dog, I know what I've done in the past. And like, I wouldn't want for like some dude to be looking at it and be like, damn, he knocked my girl down. Like, I don't want that. So like.
Tyrell beasting it out.
Yeah, I don't have that name.
So nope, you can do the porn thing though.
Nah.
Or even amateur situations.
Not now, not at this point.
Because there was a situation, the original reason that I'll talk about this is that there was, I don't even know, you went to Mizzou, do you know about the infamous, there's two infamous tape situations that went out of Mizzou. I'm talking about the original one where a chick had it taped, we could talk about online, who it was.
I know exactly what you're talking
and it was,
about.
But it was in high school and it floated all the way through her Mizzou career.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was just her and her boyfriend, though. He taped it. She didn't know.
Yeah.
But, like, it was to me, it was, like, the first original Kim Kardashian, Kanye shit. But she didn't know that he was taping.
Yeah.
And it kind of tainted her whole fucking college career.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In theory. Would you feel a certain different way if it was a situation like that?
Nah, you can't really do nothing about that. You can't really do nothing about that. Listen, everybody, and I don't want anybody to be so naive to the point that they think that their significant other ain't done something that if she's willing to do it for you,
believe you ain't the first.
You ain't the first, brother. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to let you know that you're not blazing new trails. You ain't Pierre Laclede or Lewis and Clark or anything like that.
You ain't Cervantes or nothing.
No, bro. No, not at all. Like, it has happened before, dog. So just be comfortable and be at peace with that. I don't know. I don't really be tripping off of that type of stuff. But
what like, about the second Mizzou infamous tape? The one
you talking the professional one?
The one is that considered professional? I'm talking the one that shout out to my brother Vernon told me about. He's doing. I just heard about.
Oh, this is after his time.
No. But he was in grad school at the time when this popped off.
I don't know.
The one, I think it was involving your was it involving your organization?
No.
Oh, it was somebody, it got passed around or whatever, and people talk about this tape.
No, not us.
I thought maybe it was one Alpha and one Kappa involved in this situation.
No, that wasn't in my time.
Maybe this is maybe old, maybe a little bit older than
but
you.
But there ain't, I know.
You know what, is it
I know the history of my joint well, and that's never.
But you know, am I talking about the same tape we're talking about though?
I don't know. Where we have to talk. If we can't talk about it, yeah. We have to talk about it later.
But okay, it was basically a situation where some cats, whole bunch of people, it was like a big orgy situation or something like that. Somebody taped it, and it got out in the streets, and it got passed around like the fucking like the Blair Witch Project.
Like
the,
Ray J?
Yeah. And it was just getting dubbed and redubbed and shit from what I know.
Damn.
And this got passed around, and niggas are just had, like, you know, I got that tape, almost kind of like, what was the one with the, the one where the girl kills you at the end if you watch the Ring. Yeah, it was like The Ring and shit, being redubbed and shit going around. You couldn't deal with that either, I'm assuming, right?
No, that's unnecessary. So I'm also sitting there talking to you at 34. Like, right. So, like, my whole way of looking.
But I would think at 34 you'd be more mature. At 24, you'd be like, oh, fuck that.
No, I had a lot less fuck it. I don't care what you
had. You had a lot more, more fuck it then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot more.
So answering the guy's question from the email with the stripper, though, how would you handle that situation?
Man, that's a tough call, bro. You gotta just decide what you are okay, what you're comfortable
since
with.
Since she's on point, she's in medical sales, you know, medical supply sales. Like, I get it, man. Bro. So, I mean, my question is, what kind of financial stress she in, though, if she's already in medical supplies selling and that of a financial situation?
Yeah, what are you trying to work your way out of at that point?
Yeah, did you have a coke habit or something going on that you got to pay back Mr. Biggs for or something? What?
She need to call Snoop Dogg.
Because he can get her out.
He'll figure out something.
All you got to do is, you know, talk to my friend Earl, and you'll be good to go. Like,
Snoop will get you the gun.
So, I don't even know what to do in a situation like that, man.
I'd say you got to just go with your, you got to go with your heart. Make your own decision. My own thing, going back to the original point, is make your own decision. Don't make a decision based off what you think you're supposed to do socially.
And I think it made it worse, this homeboy sending the picture, though, too. That's probably the salt on more than wounds, is like your homeboy hit the tweet. Not like you find out on your own investigation or found out randomly on your own. So now you got one of your homeboys got all the pictures of her from the club and everything on his phone. So that's the key, though. And I'm assuming that did he tell you directly, or did he tell your other homeboys first, like, hey, man, you know, Willie Earl, girl, I saw her at the bunny house, you know, popping on some dudes. Did he tell them first, or do you think he told him first?
I don't know.
I'm saying, but I mean, in general, they're like, man, and maybe he went to the other boys, like, man, what should we do, dog? Like, I got these pictures. I you don't believe me? I don't believe you. And he sent them to them. So now you're dealing with a crew of friends that know about this shit. At this point, you gotta assume this. At this point,
this is a messy ass
situation. Like, you gotta be like, yo, what do you gotta? I guess you gotta have a straight up sitting down conversation. Like, yo, what is going on? What's the deal with this? Do you have a coke habit? Do you have like $1 million in student loans or something? What is it? What's going on?
Yeah, you gotta have a conversation. At this point, there's nothing else I can offer. You have to have the conversation and figure out where to go from there. But my big thing is, my point about it is don't make a judgment based on what you think people, what the popular decision is. Make the decision.
That's gonna be hard, though, when like five of his homeboys probably know by now. Because they all got the picture.
And at the same time,
they reopen another group chat without you in it.
At the same time, though, they're gonna be looking around like, damn, he living the life, though, on the low.
That's true, too.
He living the life on the low.
And my thing is, like, but damn, how bad is she then? Shit, if she
everybody got a homeboy, they look around and be like, I wonder how she get down.
Yeah,
it's true.
She might have a fatty on it then.
She might be legit. She might be the boss.
She might be Black China or something at this moment.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Amber Rose or something like that.
No, we'll see.
Can y'all see me? Can you send us a picture? Can you send us a picture? We would just want to know, though. No judgment.
This is just for the culture.
Yeah, just for the culture. We won't even send out to the masses, just for ourselves.
Yeah.
Just for us to know.
We'll count that. We'll credit $3 towards
the premium. You can send us our Facebook page and we get to see that. We ain't got to see the stripper pictures and nothing.
I don't need all that.
Yeah. Now, would it be worse if she had a other Instagram account that promoted her stripping, though, that he didn't know about?
No, at this point, everything's kind of fucked up either way.
You said everything. It's just more subtle, more moves at this point. If everything else is just...
Now, everything else is in the bonus.
So, yeah. Sorry, man. Charlie Murphy dies, man.
That's fucked up. I ain't see that coming. Here's the thing I appreciate about Charlie Murphy is that Charlie Murphy made... he kind of made chicken salad out of chicken shit. Like, he was... like, he was around, but then he, like, really made his way out of being the little brother shadow.
He's the Jim Jones.
He is the Jim Jones of comedy. Fair point.
Yeah. Because who would have thought Jim Jones would have had his own career outside of being Cameron's homeboy?
Yeah. He avoided becoming Memphis Bleek.
Ooh, damn. That's a good one. Yes. He is the all-star, right? He is the patron saint for being around somebody and making sure you come up, too, though.
He's right next to Robin. who became Nightwing.
My thing. And you're talking about a fictional person.
Yes, that just doesn't happen. I think, well, the patron saint is Kobe Bryant, obviously.
But is Kobe really the side? I'm talking about, when I think of side, I'm thinking somebody like Cameron Payne or something for a proxy to Westbrook.
No, Kobe was the side dude. Like, he was the little young thunder that they ended up looking at and saying, hey.
We're going to build a team.
He went from being a sidekick to being like a top 10 player of all time. Like, Kobe's the patron saint. Like, Lou Gehrig up there, too.
Oh, because he had Babe Ruth.
Yeah, like. But, in all due respects, yeah, Kim Kardashian got to be up there, too.
Because she was Paris Hilton.
Yeah. She's blown Paris Hilton away.
Yeah.
She's like the Kobe Bryant of trophy chicks.
There's gotta be some other ones too. Do you think Marlon Wayans?
Nah, he ain't on that level.
I'm saying, but I mean his brothers.
Well, all of them kinda are though, because
they kinda was a collect they yeah. was more a little more collected. But
yeah, they was like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And they came in though all is like we're a comedic family.
Yeah, like New Edition. They like New Edition breaking off and doing their thing. Like, it ain't no shock. Like, hey, all these cats got mad talent.
Yeah, so we saying Jim Jones, Kim Kardashian, Kobe Bryant, Charlie Murphy. We need one more person to make it five.
Nightwing.
Well, no. It's a fictional person. And Lou Gehrig, five.
Okay.
And Lou Gehrig, it'd be five.
And Nightwing.
And Nightwing. All right, Nightwing. Is Nightwing the best sidekick to come?
Oh, hell yeah. Because you don't even remember. There's been hella Robins after him, but ain't none of them been Nightwing. Even though Damian Wayne's kind of
tough. Damian Wayne is going to be the next coming on the second.
Well, Kid Flash became real fast. Nightwing.
Kid Flash is up there, too. If you want to talk about that, Kid Flash is up there, too.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. We can do that.
I'm trying to think, man. I'm trying to think who else has got a dope sidekick that became their own Falcon. He's being fucking Captain America.
Yeah, that's true, but he ain't
Sam Wilson became Captain America.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Sam Wilson became Captain America.
X-23 became Wolverine.
There you go. There's another one.
We going off a deep end, though.
Yeah, but Charlie Murphy, though, man, like, you got to think about, he had a lot stacked against him. You're fucking Eddie Murphy, who we have ranked as one of the best black men of all time.
Yes.
On our first podcast.
He's sitting at the table.
Yeah, for multiple decades.
Oh, yeah.
And you're the brother, and you're the older brother too. So it's not like you're the younger brother. It's kind of like
how did he get wrapped up with Chappelle? Like
Chappelle ended up meeting him somewhere and was like, he tells good stories. You're funny, man. Like just come and
come on the show. On the show.
Just... He said because you know the Rick James story started. He was just talking some shit in the lunchroom, and they was like, let's just go on the green screen and just talk shit.
Like why was he there though?
Because he just thought he was funny.
Was he a writer?
No, he just thought he was funny. It was like,
oh, so he just brought him in. Like
he just brought him in because you tell good stories.
So I'm guessing Eddie put Charlie on. Like,
no,
so he had,
no,
like,
he just knew Charlie through different people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But like Charlie was in that social circle because he was in Eddie's circle.
Right. Because you got to remember, he was in CB4. He was the main villain in CB4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
He played Gusto, the original Gusto. That's right. It's him.
Who you take, Gusto or Samson?
Ooh, Gusto, man. Gusto wasn't no joke, dog. Gusto wasn't no joke, man. Samson had to have his girls get involved.
You know Samson stood up at the end, though, like, hold up.
No, but
this is Smarty Pants.
Gusto had the whole low cash area on lock.
That's fair.
He went into jail, and they had him with the goddamn Hannibal Lecter mask on, remember?
Yeah. Gusto was in jail, like a souped up
Avon.
Yes, Avon.
But they had a Hannibal Lecter mask when he came in.
That's
there.
True. Dog, niggas
for
just,
no reason, he didn't eat people.
Niggas like not that. Even just made that thorough, dog. Like, he was like Nasty Nate times. Like,
he was
like
Nasty
10.
Nate times.
Yeah. Charlie
Ooh,
Murphy.
Yeah.
Just
Charlie
hooked
Murphy
up in
was
that
crazy.
Joint. All right, so yeah, but I got mad respect for Charlie Murphy though, just because of that. But yo, Charlie Murphy is like ingrained in like
pop culture forever.
Yes, like he.
Arguably, there's kids that will think that Charlie Murphy is more popular than Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, them kids are stupid.
But I'm just no. But think about it. If you're a kid born 98, 99,
your parents need to inform you.
Well, no, I'm just saying that. But I'm saying though, you know about. Rick James, I'm Rick James, bitch. Before you would know anything about a Coming to America shit.
Hey, season two of Chappelle's Show, he like helped it like go to like that iconic level. Like he played as big a role in it going to that iconic.
He was funny in the first season to me.
Well, yeah.
With the player's hairball.
Oh, the player's hairball
is one of the best sketches ever. Buck Nasty.
Oh, Playhead's Ball was one of the greatest sketches of all time. What are Charlie Murphy's top five sketches?
Ooh.
On Chappelle's Show.
I mean, all the storytelling ones, those two for Prince, Rick James. I think one of the one underrated ones is the real Mad Real World.
Mad Real World, yes.
Yeah. Playhead's Ball and I'm trying to think what would be a good fifth one.
I'm agreeing with you on all of those, so I can just go for the fifth one. The one where about the civil rights.
Oh yeah, you talking about when he was the preacher.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I could go with that one. Yeah, he was like, if you're pissing, you're shitting, you.
It's all about the cockadookie and the stinky.
That was good, man. And I knew it was something wrong when looking back, because I went to the Comedy Get Down. Me and the wife went to the Comedy Get Down when he came here. It was him, Sid, D.L. Hughley, and George Lopez.
Yeah.
And he looked funny shaped.
Mm.
Like, he was real, like, super skinny in some spot, and, like, fat in other places, like, fat.
Like, not doing good. Like,
yeah, his body looked deformed and funny.
Damn.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on with Charlie Murphy, yo? Like, he looks funny shaped.
Damn, that's bad.
And then it was like, shit, now it makes fucking sense that he's fucking had leukemia this whole fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't up and get leukemia.
No.
Like, you find out about that shit 5 years ahead of time and shit that you fucked up in the game. And they say that he basically, because his wife died of cancer too, in 2009, I believe. 2010, somewhere in there. And he didn't believe in the medicine. She got traditional medicine, so he would try to do the alternative because she ended up dying. He was like, well, fuck. She died from doing the goddamn chemo and other kind of shit. I'm going to fucking do some alternative medicine shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end, he tried to do chemo or whatever. But of course, it's too late at that point, you know, in the game, you come into chemo and shit. And like, man, but like, think about like, dude, Eddie Murphy is your younger brother, not your older brother. Younger brother. Because he basically said he came back because he was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back and his brother blown up.
Well, I used to look at after Charlie blew up, I used to look at Eddie's old stand-ups like Raw and Delirious to try to peep out Charlie. Charlie's always walking with him.
Yeah.
He was always right there.
But I'm talking about he had blown up and was already on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, shit. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So think about it. You come back from fucking Korea or something, your brother's fucking the business.
Yeah, that's big.
And you just beat up niggas around him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your job is basically part-time security and kicking it with your brother.
Yeah, Eddie was on the Mount Rushmore brothers in the 80s.
He's the highest paid actor, black actor before Denzel.
Yeah, Eddie was killing it. Eddie's importance is like immense how important Eddie was, and he was right there, you know, for him the whole time. Like, I got mad respect for Charlie.
I wonder how many stories we don't know about Charlie Murphy that he ain't told that some shit. Cause like, you ever seen the behind the scenes one where they try to tell a story about the dude and they had to keep bleep his name out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking about stories like that. We had to whoop his ass that many times the dude came back. We whooped his ass again. And think about Eddie was kind of about it though, whooping people's ass with his brother though. Like,
Eddie and them was hood as fuck.
Dude, they from Brooklyn.
I know. No, they from Brooklyn or from Detroit?
No, they from Brooklyn. Okay. They from Brooklyn, man. Oh yeah, they from Brooklyn.
Okay.
That's how Chris Rock was able to get down with them. Because they were from the same area.
Ah, I see.
Because Chris Rock tells a story about how he was driving Eddie's Lamborghini around for like a week and fucking Eddie forgot about it. Because he had so much money popping. And he was like, yo, I got your car, dude. Like, oh, shit, okay. Shit, drop it off over here. He's like, fuck, you had fucking forgot about this shit? Like, that's how much money Eddie had during that time.
Yeah, Eddie was doing that.
But like, and I respect Charlie because he didn't want no nigga that just fucking, I'm just going to be fucking Eddie Murphy, bro.
Charlie, here's the dope thing that Charlie did is like, Charlie showed you like how crazy it gets just being like, I don't want to say just like a dude like on the side, but like if you got a
homeboy, you next to the man. If you got the crazy shit that happens next to sitting next to the man.
Yeah, if you got a homeboy that's like made it like for real made it, like you will see some things.
You got, and they probably tell the best stories because they're on the voyeuristic other side of it, because the person that's experiencing it really probably don't really experience it and tell the story. Right. Because it's happening to them constantly.
Right.
Charlie Murphy's sitting on the side like, yo, motherfucker, Rick James is fucking off the chain. This motherfucker talking shit, does all kind of stuff. Eddie probably encounters so many people, he doesn't know, like, man, I just don't fuck with Rick when he on that coke. That's probably what he's saying in his head.
Right.
But Charlie, like, no, that motherfucker Rick was extra, though, Eddie. Like, that motherfucker was extra. You just saying, like, I don't fuck with him.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, the things you will see and the things people really know about stuff, like, is, like, crazy. That's why you got to protect your image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you have to protect your image and, like, the things you are involved in, because you will get fucking hammered if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something terrible. Like, you will be exposed to some things that you didn't even really sign up for.
And I just think about how many other crazy shit was happening in the 80s, though, dog. Like, we in a time now where as soon as shit happened, it's
something. Oh, the 80s? In my mind, I might be nostalgic, but I don't think so, because I remember the early 90s and things that was going on then. Yo, the 80s was off the hook.
Yeah, oh, that's probably the best time to live in.
Off the hook.
Look, probably the best time to live as a black man had to be 80 to 97. If you had a decent amount of money. Because you can insulate yourself from being, you could be black, but not really think about black shit all the time.
Yeah.
Because now you're inundated with, like, different media, like, oh, shit's happening. Motherfuckers getting their ass whooped and killed and all kind of shit. Yo, Eddie Murphy was out there just kicking it. Just banging down chicks.
Oh, he was the top dog. He was the top dog in a time when being the top dog let you be. Like, now, being the top dog now take more patience than it did when Eddie was around. Because, like, Eddie...
Do you think so, though?
There wasn't no social media.
Bullshit. You saying, like, I could be the man on the low and it's...
Yes. You can't be the... You can be the man, but you got to go to a lot greater extent to do it back now than you did back then. Even on the level that we on now or back then. Like, the things that you could pull off... Listen, being the king of the North wouldn't have been that impressive of a feat back then, because there have been a lot of kings in the castle. Exactly. So, like, but no, like, you could just be OC. You could just live your life and be out in the streets just wilding out, doing whatever, because can't nobody substantiate or prove what you really are here doing.
The thing about Gacy is, you could tell a chick, I'm coming to pick you up at 7 and say, fuck it. I'm just going to go do some other shit and be on some other shit.
Right.
For, like, 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, literally for 2 weeks.
Right. Like,
look at my mom died.
Look at how much more fun it was to be Michael Jordan than it is to be LeBron James.
Yeah. LeBron James can't do shit.
Look at how much more fun it was to be Magic Johnson than it was to be Michael Jordan. Because Magic was the 80s. Meanwhile, Mike was the 80s, 90s, things were changing.
And
like LeBron here now, and it's like you can't even be like that. Like you can't even be like that. Now I know LeBron got an underside that people don't know about.
But Michael can't be flagrant with it.
If LeBron James is in Atlantic City getting it in to 4 o'clock in the morning, nigga, TMZ would be
on it.
Over it. Michael Jordan did that on the regular. Michael Jordan would fly to Atlantic City and then fly back to play the Jazz.
Before the game six.
Because Michael Jordan, your money was stretched longer back then. So Charlie Murphy saw some things that Eddie Murphy was a part of back in them unfiltered, wild, cocaine, cowboy 80s that you can't even bring up. I look at those 80s like I look at when I was young in my 20s, just wilding out in college before Facebook became what it is now. I told some of my youngins down in Columbia, I said, y'all couldn't live the life that we live now.
No, and they think reckless.
And they think I'm just being an old head, like, oh, y'all don't do it like we did it. Like, no, y'all down here doing it. But I'm telling you, you have adapted to a time where you can't do as much.
You just accept the fact you can't do as much. And I'm going to tell you some stories right now that you're not going to believe, but I'm going to bring my mans over here who has no idea what I'm telling you, that's going to tell you what I just said plus some more things I can't remember, and your mind going to be blown. And that's just how it is. Social media makes it harder to have them Charlie Murphy stories now. And
it's hard to be a creep too.
Yes, exactly. It is way harder. So
my mom's going to have another family on the other side of town.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. You know, you can still pull that off.
Huh?
You still pull that off.
Oh, man, that's just a little bit harder.
But it's
a little bit harder. Your level's got to be at a higher level. But I'm like, yo, think about, like, but Charlie Murphy tell great stories. Like I would, like, just be around Charlie Murphy. They say people would just sit there for hours and listen to him tell stories. Like, hours. Random shit about random situations and things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a great orator.
Yeah.
He was a great orator. He could frame a story. He could tell a great story. You know, that was the dope thing about what he did. So, like, I got mad respect for Charlie Murphy. Like, I just appreciate that brother for, like, what he was and how, you know, his brother's fame helped him, but he also built it off his own experiences within mm-hmm. that, you know. So that's, and I ain't got no problem with that. I got no problem with that at all. So I got a lot of respect for Charlie Murphy. It sucks to see what happened with him. It sucks to see what happened with him about, you know, what's going on. But, you know, I'm hey man, he provided some of the absolute funny. And here's what I really appreciate about Charlie Murphy, because everybody got a boy like Charlie Murphy.
Oh yeah, that tells the best story.
Now here's my question though, before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Who would Charlie Murphy have been in the crew?
I think I am in my crew.
No, but who? What's his role? Like,
what, oh, you talking about the dude that,
like,
just?
What's his role in the crew?
Oh. You know what? On the low. No, I can see somebody else being the utility person for Eddie.
Yeah,
see like some other cat that they probably
Eddie probably with, have one of the greatest utility men of all.
Oh, he's probably legendary
of all time.
We may need to find out who he is.
I would love to know
to just to put him in the pantheon of utility players.
I bet you Eddie utility cat was a white dude. I bet.
Or does he have a black and a white one at that time? Because remember, at that time you could coalesce between both sides. Mm. At that time, he could go to the black club in one night and then go over to the white club in the same night.
Okay, but when you get to that level, though, your agent's probably your utility man, too. Yeah. Though. So that's kind of not fair.
Like, would he be the henchman?
I think he got to be one of the great henchmen of all time.
Yeah.
Because he would tell some jokes, but he also punched Rick James in the he kicked Rick James in the chest. He might be the greatest. Charlie Murphy had great skits. Raise a glass to Charlie Murphy. But Charlie Murphy might be the greatest henchman of all time.
Could he be negotiating? No, he wasn't negotiating.
No,
he wasn't negotiating shit.
He wasn't negotiating shit. He cut somebody out on stage for yelling out during Eddie's show.
Damn, that's right. He's maybe the best henchman of all time.
Charlie Murphy's the greatest henchman of all time. He's a henchman that turned good and ended up having a role for himself. Mainstream, too. He is the model for which all henchmen should look after.
Because like how he like how for a long time, like how if you
yes
family.
Yes he evolved he evolved.
That's what henchmen become is married men,
yes,
married family men.
Yes, we gotta have a henchman on this show soon.
Oh, we do.
We've never had a henchman on this show.
We do need a henchman on the show.
My henchman is reformed now.
Yeah, he
like my number one henchman. My number one henchman of all time. He's reformed now. Damn, I was supposed to send him a message too. I need to do that today. I don't want him reverting back and becoming a henchman on me again. But he's the number one henchman. We gotta have a henchman on this show.
Maybe we need to have him.
I can't. He won't.
You don't think he'll do it?
I don't think I'm gonna get him in town to be able to do it.
No, I was talking about the other one though, the local one.
I don't have a local one here.
We do got a local one. He was at your birthday party.
This year?
Yeah, when we went to what you call it.
Oh. Oh, we could have him on, yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'm sure we just, as long as we got. Oh, we're up to $10 on our PayPal account. We have to.
We're almost there.
We're there. It was $10. Was it? It's two.
Yeah, man. But we gotta fucking. We're gonna lose money when we transfer it. We're gonna lose $3.
We're taking it out, so we need $13. So three more dollars. We can have. We can't do no branding, man.
Hell no, we can't do no brandy. What?
Yeah, we can't do no ENG or nothing like that, man, though.
Wow,
$5 more. We'll do AFC.
$5 more. We'll get it. $5 more. We'll get it.
Yeah.
We'll put it on. We'll put it on the straight Outlookcast site.
Shout out to Charlie Murphy, man. You'll be missed, man. Man, great comedy, man. Great everything. Like, he's an inspiration, man. I know it sounds kind of almost self-hollow because we didn't know the motherfucker like that when eulogizing him, but he was...
No, you know Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy was for the people.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy told some of the greatest bar stories, barbecue stories. Charlie Murphy would have been... And we'll do this next show. No. Pick a house party barbecue... guest list to have cats at.
Who is Charlie? Like
yes, Charlie Murphy is the inaugural person on that list.
He's in there.
We will do this next show. I need everybody.
And then we got to pick who's bringing the meat.
Yes.
Who's cooking the meat?
Who's on the grill?
Who's on the grill?
Who's playing? Who's on the table?
Who's on the domino table?
Yes.
Who's playing spades?
Who's gonna be waiting to play spades on the dominoes table, getting mad at the cats playing spades?
Who's the person that found out about you didn't want to come, but they showed up?
Who's DJing?
There you go.
Who's DJing? Right.
Oh, because I got better.
And then who you waiting on to bring something, and they still not there?
And you gave them some bullshit to bring, and they still couldn't bring it on time, like the rolls.
Right. Exactly. Right.
That'll be it. That's the homework for everybody.
Send us your ideal summer. That's just getting ready to get warm. It's getting ready to get dope out here. Like, send us your ideal house party. Not how even how it can be a pork party. Your ideal barbecue situation. People all time you need to have there.
I like it. Make sure you email us, straightoloc@gmail.com. Show us love as always. We out here. Peace.